Welcome to What is Going Om for New Thought from the Edge of Om. Each week on Om Time's flagship radio show, veteran broadcaster, author, and media consultant Sandy Sedgbeer conducts thought-provoking interviews with inspirational authors, artists, musicians, scientists, speakers, and filmmakers who are working at the point where spirituality and science meet consciousness at the very edge of Om. Here is your host, Sandy Sedgbeer.
Hello. Well, award-winning author and researcher Dawson Church hears the life stories of people who attend his workshops. He's both moved by their suffering and also struck by the way their suffering has accumulated throughout their lives. For they weren't born suffering. As toddlers, he says, they knew how to laugh, love, and play, but then negative experiences gradually moved them from the spontaneously joyful childhood state to the worried, diminished, stressed adult state. If that sounds familiar to you, stay tuned, because in this episode, Dawson Church is going to reveal how we can reverse this process. Dawson Church, welcome.
Sandy, so good to be here. Thank you, and I so appreciate that introduction, and we will do just that.
Absolutely. Dawson, your best-selling book, The Genie in Your Genes, has been hailed by reviewers as a breakthrough in our understanding of the link between emotions and genetics. And now with your new book, Mind to Matter, you're taking this information one step further by sharing the astonishing science of how our brain creates our experiences and our material reality. Before we delve deeply into that, I'm curious to know what first sparked your interest in this arena?
Well, I had some formative experiences, Sandy, when I was a teenager. I joined a spiritual community and I meditated a lot when I was 15, 16, 17 years old. And I also learned healing techniques. And I watched people heal very quickly with energy healing. I remember once seeing someone who had a puncture wound in their finger from a nail gun misfire that had gone through their thumbnail and gone all the way through their thumb, pretty painful injury. And as the energy healer worked on this, the thumb just closed up, the wound just went away in about 20 minutes. So I saw these healings and I thought something has to be going on here. And then as an adult and then getting my doctorate, I looked deeply at the effect of energy on healing, especially healing the body. And I was so struck by how our bodies are meant to heal and our cells are meant to regenerate, and they're regenerating an energy field. So I've now done over, I'm trying to think of the number, probably over 30 clinical trials. And I've been played some role in over 100 clinical trials showing now that energy medicine, energy psychology, energy methods produce extremely rapid healing of both physical and psychological conditions. And that's what these two books are all about.
Now, you founded the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare to study and implement all the evidence-based psychological and medical techniques. And then you share how to apply these breakthroughs to many different areas of our life, including health and athletic performance, wealth, etc., through EFT Universe, which is one of the largest alternative medicine sites on the web. Where does EFT come into it?
EFT is one of two techniques I believe should be in everyone's self-healing toolkit. And the other one is meditation. And I developed a very simple meditation technique that's extremely effective, though, called eco-meditation. And so I believe in meditating every morning. This morning I meditated, Sandy. Every morning I meditate. And what we're finding is that as you meditate, you start literally shift the way your brain functions. But then you finish your meditation, your day starts, you check your email, you check your Facebook, you go to work, you do all the things you do. Kids, like one lady was saying, I'm just so burned out. I don't know about my kids and my work and all the stress in my life. I don't know what to do. So you need EFT to return you to that baseline of well-being that you established during your morning meditation. And so EFT just simply uses tapping with your fingertips on acupuncture points, and this technique called acupressure tapping is really effective, and we have now over 100 clinical trials showing that it alleviates about two-thirds of pain in about 20 minutes of tapping, so you don't need to necessarily do anything other than just use acupressure to release most pain. It's effective for anxiety. There are over 30 studies now showing that it works for anxiety, it works for depression, it works for phobias, it works for sports performance, it works for business performance, it certainly works for relationships, and it's great for weight loss. We've now had over 1,000 people go through our online weight loss program, and the research shows that not only do they lose weight when they use acupressure, but in the year after they finish the program, they keep on steadily losing 1 to 2 pounds a month, so they wind up, well, after a year and 2 years and 3 years, they wind up quite a bit lighter than they were when they began to use this. So it's really effective. EFT is really effective for all those kinds of things, because stress is a component of all those problems.
For those who are not familiar with EFT, I mean, you mentioned acupuncture. Tell us, how it works.
It works very simply, and we can now tell using advanced imaging equipment what's going on in the brain. And MRI studies and EEG studies essentially use an MRI or an EEG to find out what's happening both on the surface of the brain and inside the brain. And in the center of the brain is the limbic system or midbrain, and that is responsible for emotion. So when you feel an emotion, when you feel fear, when you feel love, when you feel resentment, when you feel happiness, that part of the brain is all lit up. And what we find in these imaging studies is that when people are remembering a bad event, now again, the bad event may have happened in their childhood. They may have been injured or hurt or bullied or had some kind of adverse event when they were 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 years old. When they remember that event, the emotional midbrain lights up, even though they're safe now. So now this person's 45 years old. One lady, in fact, had been abused as a child, as a little girl, had a terrible history of abuse, and then she came out as a lesbian when she was 15 years old and was shunned by her community. And so she lost her whole community, her whole family. No one wanted to talk to her anymore. And she just had many different challenges throughout her life. She was now in her mid-50s. And so, again, the emotional brain is going to be lit up when you're thinking about those memories. But when you do EFT, when you tap, the research shows that the midbrain just calms down. All that activation of the midbrain just goes away. So you still have the memory. You don't forget about the thing. You have the memory, what the bad thing that happened to you, but you no longer have an emotional reaction to it. And so even, for example, we worked with over 20,000 veterans in our nonprofit. And we've shown in 7 clinical trials, 7 randomized controlled trials, that all of the emotional triggering that results in PTSD just goes away. They remember the deaths. They remember the dismemberment. They remember the civilians. They remember the wounds. They remember the firefights. They remember all the bad things. So the memories aren't gone, but their emotional reactions to the memories are gone. And so that's why we call it emotional freedom techniques. You no longer have that big reaction in that emotional midbrain. And that then drives hormones, drives heart rate. We're doing a lot of research now on immunity. And as things like stress hormones, like cortisol and adrenaline, go down, helpful, healthy factors like immunoglobulins, which are your main line of defense against bacteria and viruses and environmental threats, those immunoglobulins rise dramatically. So we're now understanding what happens to the body at the level of the cells, at the level of hormones, and at the level of the brain when you practice these techniques.
So how is it that tapping on an acupressure point can release some of these emotional blockages?
You know, the amazing thing, Sandy, you think that acupuncture, acupressure, these points, people have known about these for at least 5,000 years. We have documented proof that human beings have been using these points for healing for over 5,000 years, and probably goes back a lot longer than that as well. And so it's amazing that shamans, early healers, knew about these points a long time ago. And they were able to observe that stimulation of these points was effective. And their energy flows in the body. Nowadays, we can measure these with sophisticated instruments like galvanometers. We can measure what's going on the surface of your skin, and we know that those energy currents change. And the energy polarity, one of the really crucial experiments was actually done in 1946 by a pioneering doctor called Harold Saxton Burr. And I talk about this experiment in both my books and later experiments as well. But in Mind to Matter, I describe how he did these experiments, and he found that he took women and looked at the electrical activity on their uteruses, and women who had cancer had very different electrical charges on the uterus than women who were cancer-free. But he found that sometimes women were cancer-free and they had that electrical polarity reversal in their uterus. If that was the case, they later developed cancer. So the energy was showing up in the field before the physical symptoms appeared in the body. And in this book, I talk a lot about this new book, Mind to Matter. I talk a lot about energy fields and how we can use those fields, literally shift those fields in seconds with acupressure and with meditation. So it's using EFT by shifting the energy flows in the body by correcting those energy imbalances. Then it exerts a very rapid and large effect on the material world of our cells.
So now I'm beginning to understand why you married meditation with EFT, because meditation, all the latest neuroscience is showing, you know, how much that can alter the brain, the body, etc. So you've taken two things that both independently can alter the system, and you've married them together to make it easier. Is that correct?
Sandy, I'm greedy. It's like, we know heart coherence, heart math stuff works. We know
yes.
that mindfulness works.
Yes.
We know that EFT works. We know that neurofeedback works. And so what I've done is I've developed simple procedures to help people remember to do all those things and put them all into a simple package. People just sit down, do this. And like, I got an amazing email from somebody earlier this week. And this woman said, I have two young children. I'm burned out. I'm having a really hard time in my life. I sat down to do a meditation, and I thought, you've failed to do meditation. You've failed every time you've tried to do meditation. This is never going to work. That was my self-talk. And suddenly, I began to cry, and I was in bliss, and I was there for the first time ever. And now I'm going to do it every day. And when I hear people say things like that, I'm so moved, because all the science, all the convincing, all the writing for me is about that young mother of those two kids who's now finding a way to spend that 15 or 20 minutes every day giving herself the gift of inner peace and is practicing that. And now she changes. And as she changes, there's a phenomenon I describe in Mind to Matter called emotional contagion, how when you move to the positive end of the spectrum of emotions, you affect the people around you, and they affect the people around them, and they affect the people around them. So we're infectious agents for goodwill and kindness and compassion when we practice these techniques. That's what I love about this combination of techniques. They move us there quickly. They move us there mechanically. Like tapping is just something you do. You don't have to believe it. Even if you don't believe it, it'll work. Same thing with the form of meditation I give people in Mind to Matter, eco-meditation. I just say, do this. Just sit down, breathe this way, relax these muscles, and you can have that same experience of well-being. Mechanically, you don't have to believe in anything. You don't have to follow a guru. You don't have to spend 31 years meditating like the famous Tibetan monks did who were happy. Just do these seven things with your body, and you'll be there.
But is it enough? I mean, to a lot of people's patterns, you know, their behaviors, their challenges, etc., are due to long-held belief systems. Is tapping enough to break through that?
Yes. Yeah, and that's psychology. That's called conditioning. And you have these conditioned responses, and a lot of our lives run on conditioning, which is really handy because that frees up our mental capacity for thinking and for tasks. And there's this part of huge chunks of the brain called the default mode network, and that's the part that's just running things unconsciously. So you get in the car, and you find yourself at the grocery store 10 minutes later. They have no idea how you got there. Your default mode network took care of you and got you there and did all those mechanical things. So we have all this conditioning that's super helpful in running our lives, but the problem is when that conditioning is pushing you to think about negative things, to think about, remember insults and problems in the past, to replay traumatic events, to associate your husband and your wife and your children and your parents and your environment, your surroundings with negative things, then that becomes conditioned. And it's not just behavior, it's neurology. If the award, the Nobel Prize-winning research I cover in Mind to Matter shows, summarizes the research showing that if you pass a signal through a neural bundle repeatedly for an hour, the number of synapses in that bundle can double. So you're building up those pathways, and now after you've done that for 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, you have a highly conditioned response. And now you're asking, can a little bit of tapping just reverse that? And the answer, surprisingly, is for memory-based things, yes. It doesn't work that simply for every problem, but for problems rooted in memory, it does. You remember the thing, and you tap, and there's a phenomenon called memory reconsolidation and extinction, one of the most exciting new avenues of psychological research right now. And it literally shows you can extinguish the emotional charge behind that negative event in moments sometimes with these kinds of therapies. So you don't work on it globally like anxiety or depression. You work on it with individual memories, remembering the bomb blast, remembering the rape, remembering the bullying, remembering the abuse, whatever it might be. But then memory by memory, you clear out that trauma, and then you start to have space for the good things in your life.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. My guest today is founder of EFTUniverse.com and award-winning researcher and author of The Genie in Your Genes, Dawson Church. We're discussing his new book, Mind to Matter, The Astonishing Science of How Your Brain Creates Material Reality. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
The future of internet radio is here. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the OM Times Experts program. With OM Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
My name is Meera Batra, and this is How I Live United. Many families have come to America for a better life. I advocate for these families with United Way. United Way empowers them to see opportunities available. We help them get involved with their kids, schools, and network within the community. My name is Meera Batra. I help families see opportunity and succeed. I don't just wear the shirt. I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dawson Church, let's talk a little bit about the difference between the mind and the brain.
One of my favorite topics, Sandy, and it is so interesting. So the materialist view, which has been predominant in our culture, is that, and I'll say this slow, I don't tend to talk way too fast, so I'll say this slowly, but in the jargon of academics, they say the belief is that, the materialist view is that, the mind is the result of the activity of the brain, and that as brains became more and more complicated over the course of evolution, as you know, from worms to simple organisms like reptiles, and then more complex organisms like mammals, and then primates, and then finally humans, that brains became more and more complex, and that they threw up this what they call an epiphenomenon called mind. And another famous saying is that mind is what brain does, and that is the old view, and that consciousness is thrown up by the brain. The brain's activity produces consciousness. But what research is now showing is the brain is much more like a receiver or a transducer of information, just the way that the device on which you're listening to this broadcast is bringing in information from somewhere else, and that it's displaying it or you're listening to it in the form that you're doing on your device. But the broadcast is not in the device, and you and I aren't inside that smartphone or that iPad or that laptop on which someone's listening to this program. So the consciousness and mind is not in the brain any or produced by the brain any more than this broadcast is being produced by your smartphone. It's coming from somewhere else. And so in the book, I talk a lot about what I call non-local mind. Now, we have local minds. My local mind thinks my name is Dawson Church. My local mind looks around my office, notices I'm wearing a gray shirt and my couch is blue. That's all local mind activity. And we talked about conditioning before the break. And you can be conditioned to think that you are your local mind. And when you ask people who they are and what they do, they'll tell you, I'm a mother, I'm a professor, I'm a teacher, I'm a student, I'm a parent, whatever it is they think their non-local mind is. But we partake of, and a lot of our functioning arises from, non-local mind. And I talk a lot in my book, Mind to Matter, about, especially in Chapter 2, about this new science called emergence. And emergence looks at how spontaneous order arises from complex systems. And so in one example, I have a video, because there are exercises in the book in each chapter which link to videos. And so in one of these videos, there's a flock of birds, and this whole flock is moving in sync. Now, how is it happening that all the birds in the flock move? There are 4 million starlings in this particular flock. How are they all coordinating this complex array of movement? How do fish, schools of fish, organize themselves? How do cities grow up, and how do people organize themselves into communities? And so the science of emergence is how order emerges spontaneously, and it has to do with non-local mind. And so there's non-local consciousness, and our brain is a transducer, a receiver of that non-local mind. And what I'm arguing for strongly in the book is letting go of the activity of your local mind and thinking you are that local self, and embracing the reality of you in non-local mind. And what we see in meditation, when we have people hooked up to EEGs, is we see that all the parts of the brain that have to do with local mind, mostly the prefrontal cortex, that part just goes offline. When they start to meditate, that part shuts down. I no longer mistake myself for this local guy wearing the gray shirt. Suddenly, I move into awareness of non-local mind, just the way those birds always are, the fish always are, and suddenly my life starts to coordinate with all of nature, all of these huge planetary cycles, just the way the birds do or the fish do. And so I'm swimming with the current. I'm moving with the flock. I'm in sync not only with nature, I'm in sync with everyone else and every other thing in nature. And that's the magic of non-local consciousness and non-local mind. And so the brain, as I argue in the book, is not the seat of consciousness. The brain is a receiver of consciousness. And whether you're perpetuating your old conditioning and using your local mind to produce the same suffering you produced yesterday and the day before and the year before that, or you tap and meditate and let go of that conditioning and then allow yourself to merge with that wonderful, benevolent universe in which we all live, suddenly, as you learn to do that, as you now recondition yourself to do that, what we're showing is your brain activity changes, your hormones change, your cells change, and your life experience changes dramatically when you start to live in sync with that universe. So that's just a small perspective of the big arguments in mind to matter.
Well, there is a slightly more insidious side to that, because we see, you know, when groups of people are together, we see this atmosphere that seems to be, you know, catching everybody, kind of gets into the same sync with whatever emotion is being expressed. And we see this in hate rallies. You know, it was something that Hitler used to use quite a lot, you know, to influence people. How would we protect ourselves if we want to engage with non-local reality, but we don't want to be influenced by negative thought forms, fields, etc.? How would we protect ourselves?
Well, we are being exposed to those possibilities all the time. Hitler, in some of his Nuremberg rallies after he came to power in 1932, he had over a million people. So there they were in these huge stadiums shouting, "Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil," raising their arms in the Nazi salute. Waves of mass hysteria. And I talk in the book, In Mind to Matter, about how William Shirer, an American journalist, chronicled this mass hysteria. Same thing in the Salem witch trials in the 1700s. And same thing with the Iraq War recently, how whole of the U.S. was caught up in this mass hysteria and went into a completely unnecessary war that wound up costing trillions of dollars and thousands of lives. How do people get swept up into this mass hysteria? And I think your question really goes to the heart of it, which is, how do you not get swept up in there? And the answer is that you identify with and you join with the energy of positive emotional contagion. So there is this negative emotional contagion. And I, just for example, my wife and I, we lost our home and our office in these huge wildfires that swept through California last year. And on October 9th in the morning, we woke up at 1 a.m. and we had to flee our home. We grabbed our car keys and our phones and ran out the door and escaped as the fire just swept through our valley and destroyed everything in moments. And we just barely got out. And 41 of our neighbors were killed and consumed in the wildfires. It was a terrible event. And so there are people now, still now, 8 or 9 months later, who are still traumatized by that. We were really traumatized by it for a few days, but we recovered quickly using these things. And we don't. Like, I talked to a woman just last week who is still obsessed with the fire and who is still reliving the fire and is still. Her whole experience today is conditioned by the fire, but the fire was 9 months ago. You know, it's time to, if you're resilient, it's time to move on. And so you identify, you link yourself in emotional contagion with positive energy. You find positive people to talk to. In fact, you avoid negative topics. And so it doesn't mean that you're blind and deaf and dumb to the suffering in the world. What you are actually is much more able to cope with the suffering in the world than unresourceful, unresilient people. When you're resilient, you can do stuff. Like 10 years ago, the VA, Veterans Administration, wasn't doing anything to get energy therapies to veterans, and they were, in fact, resisting every attempt we made. I was testifying before Congress about these therapies. We were doing randomized controlled trials where there was all kinds of evidence these therapies could help veterans with PTSD, and so we just said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start our own project and get EFT to veterans. And we did. We now treated over 20,000 veterans through the Veteran Stress Project. And so you don't become uncompassionate, you don't become an automaton. What you do is you're identifying now with these positive energy fields, and you're no longer linked to or being drawn into those negative ones. You see the mass hysteria, you see all the worry, but you align yourself the way those birds do, or those fish do, with these big positive cycles. And that then becomes your reality. You attract those people as your lovers and friends and wives and husbands, and you have all these people in your community now. You have this community of positive energy, and that's where you are. And that community is powerful. Those people are able to affect social change in a way in which disempowered people are not. And the other thing I would say is, in the book, I also give you several energy exercises. And these exercises, which you can just get for free in the book, they show you how to protect yourself when you move into a negative physical environment. Like, I don't do well, for example, in crowds or in department stores. I just have a lot of my energy system is too sensitive. But I just do two energy exercises, and I do these exercises before I walk into a mall or someplace. And suddenly, my energy boundaries are clear and strong and firm. I can go in there without being affected by all the chaotic energy washing over me. So there are ways of using energy techniques to protect yourself from those negative energies, and certainly protect your mind from them by immersing yourself in positive media, positive relationships, and generally positive life experiences.
Many people are becoming aware now that they are sensitive to things like shopping malls. I mean, shopping malls are awful. You've got so many lights. You've usually got different music blaring out from different, you know, stores. You've got all of the energy of the people in the stores. No wonder children have meltdowns in shopping malls. Could you, do you have time to briefly, you know, share that exercise with us?
Sure. While you were saying that, Sandy, I began tapping. Just remembering it was like, oh, no, I started tapping. Yeah. So I was tapping even as you were saying, we're just painting that picture. And, yeah, so the protective exercise comes from my friend Dawn Eden. I quote her and her husband David Feinstein, a clinical psychologist with whom I've written many papers for peer-reviewed journals. And so it's called a zip-up and hook-up, and it's simply what you do it right now if you want to, just practice it, it just takes a few seconds. So you, while you're taking an in-breath, breathe in through your nose, and while you're doing that, just raise your hand between your navel slowly up to the level of your mouth, and as you breathe out through your mouth, move your hand outward from your body and then repeat the process. So do this three times. So breathe in, hands moving up from your belly button, up the center line of your body, all the way up to the level of your mouth as you breathe in through your nose, and then breathe out through your mouth and move your hands outward like they're in a big circle, then back to your navel as you breathe in again. And you do that three times. You do it more than three times if you want to. And that's called the zip up. And that is like zipping up your energy field, as Donna calls it. Then the hookup is putting taking the long finger of both hands, so the center of the long finger, put one in your belly button and one hand between your eyebrows. And then as you breathe in through your nose, you lift up gently with both fingers. So you breathe in, lifting up with both long fingers, and then you breathe out through your mouth. And relax. So again, your one long finger is near your navel, the other is between your eyebrows. Breathe in through your nose, lift up. Take a nice long, deep breath. And then breathe out through your mouth and relax. And so that's what you do. Before you walk into that mall, you just do the zip up and hook up, and then you've established this energy boundary. You'll find that you are no longer affected by all that chaotic energy all around you.
So as you were sharing that, I was thinking about one particular sentence in your book where you say different intentions produce different fields and different material creations. The thoughts and energy fields we cultivate in our minds condition the atoms and the molecules around us. So that raises the question for me, is if you're in the middle of a noisy mall, you don't want to be seen to be waving your arms around and standing there putting your, you know, can you just visualize in your mind this exercise and will it be as effective?
Oh, I'm shameless, Sandy. I tap in public. And it's interesting, often you do see people tapping in public nowadays. And there are people tapping in the Olympics because a lot of athletes are realizing that these techniques are really effective for performance. And so I'll just do the zip up and the hook up in the middle of the mall. I won't care. And no one seems to notice. Yes, you can do mental tapping. And I know that, for example, when we work with people who are high performers, so they have to give a speech perhaps to the crowd, or I worked with a bunch of football players, Major League Baseball players, and when we work with them, we'll train them to do mental tapping. So while the baseball player is waiting to receive a pitch and is up to bat, he'll be doing mental tapping and bringing in mental focus. And that focus is powerful. One of my friends is an Olympic athlete. She's a swimmer called Catherine Garceau. And she says, in my sport, the difference between a gold medal and a bronze medal is one one-hundredth of a second. Think about that. So you don't get a 1/100th of a second faster in relay swimming, which is Catherine's sport. You don't get that by being a better swimmer, because at that top level of competition, if you made it to the Olympics, you're really good. And so you have all these very equally matched athletes there. It's the mental edge you get. And I did one randomized controlled trial with Ohio State University. They're a basketball team. And it was really interesting to watch the basketball players, both men and women, who were could just throw the ball in the basket every single time. It wasn't that the ones who couldn't do that didn't have the ability to do that. They could do that. They didn't have the mental focus to do that. So some of the athletes weren't able to do that mentally, even though they had that skill physically. See, that's why mental focus is so powerful.
You're listening to What Is Going On. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Dawson Church, founder of one of the largest alternative medicine sites on the web, EFT Universe. And we're talking about his new book, Mind to Matter. We'll be back in a few moments.
Edge of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called the Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family, and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Dawson Church, towards the end of Mind to Matter, you write that for the first time, the consciousness of a species is interacting with the process of evolution, using consciousness as an epigenetic intervention to change gene expression, to re-engineer the environment. And you talk about where the mind takes us next. Where do you think the mind is going to take us next?
Sandy, I'm fascinated by this question, and the book roughly is broken into three parts. The first few chapters talk about the effects of mind on matter in terms of the body and your cells. The second part is the effects of mind on matter external to our bodies and even at a distance. And that's where we find the studies of distant healing and different distant mental effects and the ability of mind to affect particles in the world outside of us, which is quite remarkable science there. But what I finished the book up with is the whole idea that mind is taking us to a whole different place, because we've been evolving for 4 billion years on this planet by means of random mutation. And so Mother Nature would throw up millions of mutations, and some of them were useless and discarded. A few of them were very useful, like the opposable thumb or the upright gait of primates and then humans. So some gene mutations were useful and became part of the species. But now what's happening is we're evolving in a very different way. We're evolving epigenetically. So when, like the other day, I just had a bad day. Now, most of my days are really wonderful days, but I have bad days too. Things don't always work out. I may have a disappointment, and I had one. I wasn't feeling very good that day. So my cortisol and adrenaline levels, my brain function, all kinds of physiological things in my body were dysregulated. And so I meditated and I tapped, and I just practiced compassion for me, for Dawson Church. And so I then began to change my own internal chemistry. And in one study I talk about in Mind to Matter, in the book, I talk about a study showing that it looked at the gene expression of people before and after 1 hour of EFT tapping therapy. And it found that 72 genes were regulated, 72 genes regulated by 1 hour of tapping. So now I'm having this rise in adrenaline and cortisol. Now I'm tapping. Now I'm shifting my own gene expression. Now, epigenetically, my consciousness is making a different choice about what kind of day I'm going to have. I'm intervening in the process. And now I'm not just the bundle of genes that are being expressed in response to the environment. Those genes are being expressed in response to consciousness and energy. So now we are beginning to evolve with the epigenetic input of consciousness, and that's never happened before. Now we're literally turning certain genes on, turning certain genes off by the power of the mind, by the power of consciousness. And now this is shifting the whole way our species and the planet is evolving. And so I believe that this will produce I believe this will produce all kinds of extraordinary superpowers in human beings over the next while, both individually and collectively. I believe we'll see people doing things like healing, spontaneous healing. There's no reason to accept that diagnosis. I'm just reading a book of a friend of mine now, writing a foreword to her book, actually, publishing a book showing how she got a cancer diagnosis last year in March, and she used only energy healing, didn't use any kind of therapy. The cancer had metastasized to her lymph nodes and to her lungs, and by doing these things, by meditating, tapping, within a few months, she was totally cancer-free, even though a gene test showed she had 8 defective genes that coded for cancer. And so she was able, with the power of her consciousness, using energy alone, to shift the reality of her body. And a few months later, in this intensive energy work she did, she was cancer-free. So we are now shifting our bodies. And when we begin to shift that way, and people begin to have these therapies available to them on an ongoing basis, like the VA now approves EFT for use in VA hospitals and at VA clinics. Kaiser Permanente, a lot of Kaiser chain physicians and nurses use it. So it's now becoming widespread, and as we grasp this opportunity for energy healing as a species, we will start to literally affect the entire course of evolution, not just for ourselves, but in the last chapters of the book, I show how we literally are affecting the whole evolutionary cycle of the entire planet. And this is just an amazing, exciting, remarkable time to be alive, when we have the potential to epigenetically shift not just our own bodies, but in terms of evolution, the entire future of planet Earth. And I'm just wildly excited and wildly optimistic about where we're going next.
You know, we've talked on this show before about the Global Coherence Initiative, and I would think many of our listeners definitely are familiar with their work, with Bruce Lipton's work, with epigenetics, etc. One of the things that occurs to me as I'm listening to you is perhaps we should have a an international tap-in day. I mean, when we hear in the news of, you know, what we've been hearing the past week or two about the, immigrants and the children, and if people were to jointly tap in together, just to bring a little bit more compassion and humanity to these situations, we could change everything.
You know, when I was testifying before Congress a few years back, I was in Washington, D.C. for a few days, and I went and visited quite a number of senators and congressmen, both Republican and Democrat, and Sandy, I could feel the negative energy. It was Cannon House office building was the particular building I spent most of my time with. I could literally feel the negative energy in there, and it wasn't as though these people were bad people. They weren't. They were good people, and it wasn't as though they were dumb people. Just the reverse. They were really smart. But they were trapped in their partisan politics by the need to get reelected. And so I had this vision. I thought, imagine if we surrounded this whole building with positive people and just beam positive, yes, loving, compassionate energy into every single person in that building. Imagine how that might change. So I believe we are doing that in our daily lives all the time. When I wake up, I decide to be a beacon of love and compassion in my world, I'm much nicer to my wife, I'm much nicer to my kids, I'm much nicer to my parents, I'm much nicer to people around me. And so we are literally shifting the world as we do that. And we have the possibility to shift collective consciousness and be a node in this huge global network, global brain, global consciousness, this non-local being that we're part of. So I believe that we can shift things that way and produce a large effect on the world around us.
And what a wonderful and very timely reminder that is, that, you know, we have the power, and it is not as difficult as people think. So when the news is really bad and people find themselves getting, you know, dragged down by it, there's a very simple solution. Dawson, I've interviewed many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of authors and researchers over the years. I don't think I've interviewed any who seem to be quite as busy as you. You've set up so many organizations. You have the National Institute for Integrative Healthcare, the Veterans Stress Project, the Foundation for Epigenetic Medicine, EFT Global, the Energy Psychology Group. I mean, do you credit meditation and tapping with giving you the whatever is required to accomplish all of this?
I was giving a keynote speech recently, and the psychologist who stood up to introduce me said, I'm introducing you to Dawson Church. He appears to be one person. He's actually a committee of 12 people masquerading as a single person. You know, Sandy, people often commented about me. They say, how on earth can we be conducting clinical trials and in your spare time and then writing a hugely complicated book like Mind to Matter and then doing the Veteran Stress Project, which has been so successful over the years, and then EFT Universe, which is the biggest training organization of energy psychology in the world. How do you do all this? And the answer is that when you're in sync with the universe just brings you stuff. Like, I wake up every morning and say, benevolent universe, what amazing synchronous things will you show up in my world right today? And it does. I'll get the email from somebody that will put the missing piece of the puzzle. I'll open my inbox, and a scientist friend will have sent me the exact paper I need to finish the chapter I'm working on today, when the publisher's deadline is tomorrow. And so you start to live synchronously like this. And so it looks like you're extraordinarily productive, but all you're doing is you're in the flow, and that's this wonderful state. It's been discovered and described since the 70s, the state of flow, the state athletes get into, the state that peak performers get into. You expect to be in that space every day, and so you do your whole life in flow. And there isn't a lot of, what's the word for it? Like sand in the gears. You've flushed out your gears, and everything seems to move very easily and synchronously to you. It doesn't mean everything in your life is perfect. I mean, obviously, something like a fire, suddenly losing your home and your office, that was a big adjustment you had to make. But again, you make it, you move through it, and you're flowing even there. So it is possible to live in the state of flow, and then you get used to it, and then you're extraordinarily happy and productive doing whatever life brings you next. And it's just perfect the way it does that.
Is this also one of the reasons why at your workshops people seem to have amazing experiences? Because together they're creating that field, they're in the flow, and, you know, when several people are doing it all together, it becomes magnified.
It's amazing to watch 100 people or 200 people all creating this group energy field, and healing is extremely powerful when we do that. So, yeah, we do that with this group energy. We can do it in person. We can do it in online communities. We have a wonderful set of Facebook communities where we do this, and then... Like when we would be direct, we had one of our practitioners was in hospital unexpectedly, and we directed group energy toward her, and she shifted dramatically. People have these medical miracles that happen to them in that group energy. So yeah, the workshops are profound. People tell me their story, and I think, like the woman I told you about earlier, who came out as gay when she was 15 years old and was shunned by her community. If she tells me her story, my left brain's thinking, Sandy, I'm thinking, this is terrible. It's a lifetime of trauma. How can she heal? I don't know how she can heal. And then she does. And we have a video where she just kindly gave us permission to show that, post it on our website, and you just watch her. She just goes through the healing cycle in about 45 minutes, and all the emotional triggering of that trauma is gone. It's just moving and profound to watch people in these live workshops, and they just shift before your eyes. Even when my left brain is thinking, my science brain is thinking, I don't know how that much trauma can possibly be healed, and then it is, and it does. We have such healing ability. We have such cellular healing ability. We have such mental healing ability, such spiritual healing ability. And so my personal mission is to awaken this in people and make them realize, hey, you can step beyond that conditioned little self you've been made to believe is you, and step into this glorious reality of the real you, which is far bigger in that non-local consciousness than the little local self you've been thinking, mistaking yourself and thinking you are that.
Dawson, the book is packed with suggestions for activities to practice, and one of the things that I really love about it is, you know, I'm a great believer in don't just tell, let people experience. And you do that because you provide what you call extended play versions of each chapters, where people can go onto a web page and find fascinating videos, audios, interviews, research, all kinds of, you know, really interesting things to delve into. So you're giving them an actual experience. You also give an awful lot away. So tell us a little bit about some of the things that you give away.
Yes, I do. I just believe in giving people the tools they need and supporting them with those things for free. And we do charge, obviously, for our workshops, and the book costs money and things like that, but we really are committed to giving a huge amount away for free. And so when the book's website, by the way, is mindtomatter.club.club. And if you register through that website, you get onto our Facebook page, which is wonderful, where we're sharing, like, people are sharing amazing synchronicity stories on that Facebook page. You get it at mindtomatter.club. You also get a series of free meditations. So each chapter then has a companion meditation, and people are listening to these meditations. I just listened to one myself this morning. It's like 6,000 people have listened to this meditation already in the last 2 weeks, and they're commenting and they're saying just unbelievable things about what they've experienced in the meditation, that they've never been able to break through in this way before, and suddenly they can, and it's so simple with these 7 meditations you get along with the book at mindtomatter.club. So we do give away huge amounts of stuff for free, and we just believe that people are capable of transformation. And when they catch the fire of that, Sandy, when they catch a glimpse of who they can be, how they can transcend the old self, we encourage them to just keep on moving with that wonderful new impulse and then claim their full potential. And what is so sad is when you meet someone who's 90 or who's 89 or who's 85 or 97, and they feel as though life passed them by. They never stepped into their full potential. I don't want anyone listening to be in that space. I don't want people to be saying, I missed my chance. I know I could have been great. I know I could have done these things or had this love or this abundance or this health or this well-being, and I just didn't seize my opportunities. This is your opportunity. And in that website, mindmeta.club, we're presenting you with so many ways to grab the opportunity and to live your full potential. That's my passion, to see people awaken in this way and then claim everything that they can be and then be part of this community of healing that is unfolding and shifting the whole picture for everyone all the way across the earth.
You also offer a free EFT mini manual at the website DawsonGift.com. You mustn't forget that one.
Yes, DawsonGift.com is where you can download the MP3 of the meditation, and also at DawsonGift.com we have the free EFT mini manual, and you'll be tapping yourself in a few minutes once you follow the instructions there.
Dawson Church, there's so much more we could discuss, but I'm afraid we are out of time. Thank you for your incredible body of work, your commitment, and your enthusiasm.
Sandy, it's been a joy. Thanks for sharing it with your community.
Thank you. Mind to Matter, the astonishing science of how your brain creates material reality, is published by Hay House. To get the free gifts Dawson mentioned, visit DawsonGift.com, MindToMatter.club. You can also check out EFTUniverse.com and EcoMeditation.com. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with another episode of our Truth in Medicine series. Till then, it's goodbye from me.